Okay, today's mitzvah is mitzvah Kuf Tzadik Dalad Shelo Lagalos Ervas Bas Habas. This is a team with yesterday's Erva, same Pasuk Yud, in Parsha Chremos, in the Parsha of the Arayas, Ervas Bas Bincho Lo Segala, Ervas Son, the nakedness of one's granddaughter. So there are two types of granddaughters a person can have, their son's daughter, their daughter's daughter. Both of those, there's Aser Daraisa, and one is not allowed to be Megala their Erva. So we used the opportunity yesterday of the discussing the Isser of Bas HaBen or Bas HaBas to start discussing in Yanim and mitzvahs relating to grandparents. There's no specific mitzvah related. This is a good place to talk about it. So yesterday we spoke about the mitzvah of Kavod. We spoke about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, special between a grandfather and a grandchild. We spoke about number three, the mitzvah of Mila. That was Rabbi Kiva Eger. And finally, number four, we spoke about the unique qualities of Puravu. So just related to that, a couple more ideas related to the Isser. First, let's read the Chinuch. And that is, today's Isser is, Shalol Legalos Ervas Bas Abbas, Shneemar, O Bas Bichol, O Segal, Ervas Anki, Ervas Chahena. Both granddaughters are your own Erva, and therefore want us to stay away. Called Yinakadin Bas HaBen. It's the same thing as yesterday's mitzvah. Granddaughter from both sides. V'shnios la gamkein bas bito. V'chein bas ben bito. And the shnios, as Chazal added on. Remember, shnios was the example given by the Rav Bar Tanura, the beginning of Avos, for Asus Yag LaTorah. Shnios and Shvus L'Shabbos. Those are the two prototypes that are given. So there are shnios to every one of the Ervas, as the Chinuch states. V'yesho and she'enlam hefzik la'olam. So here's a machlokas between various Rishonim, how far down some of the shnios go. The Rambam says there are 20 shnios, and there's discussions what exactly are those shnios. Okay, so let's talk again. First we'll talk more about grandparent and grandchild relationships and issues that come up, and then if we finish that, then maybe we'll branch off to talking about some general arayos issues that we still have a lot to talk about whenever this time. Again, if one of us to fill each of these shiurim with 20 minutes or so, we're flexible with the Torah that we talk about. So first, just relating to what we mentioned yesterday, and I mentioned I would talk about this today, and that is naming. We know the minhag is to name after the past generation, naming after grandparents, naming after great-grandparents. There's an interesting question that Rabbi Lamb deals with. This is in the Beis Yitzchak, Tavshin Mem Zayin, 1987, where he deals with the following case. Nish'alti, be'echad she'ishto be'herayon. A person asked him, his wife was pregnant. Va'avi imo bikesh bimenu shekeshetelet ishto b'shatov ha'mitzlachas. His father-in-law, his wife's father said, when my daughter has a baby, I want you to name the baby for me. I know that I'm alive, I know that I'm Ashkenazi, but I want you to name the baby for me. And the question is, yes, I am, what do I do? I'm not min hagenu she'im achanim es ha-ben b'shem aviv o'zakeinu o shum adam chai. Avakan lo sabo bikeshos miado. Right, the sabo asked him, the grandfather asked him, for who wrote selasos nachas ruach lo kadas malasos? What am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? So Rabbi Lamb says there are really five issues that one has to discuss relating to this question. Number one, in minhag zeh koveya ad kedekach sheish isra mevat lamoso. Number one, the minhag of Ashkenazic Jewry, wherever it comes from, which we'll talk about in a second, the minhag of Ashkenazic Jewry not to name after a living relative. Is that a minhag that is so powerful that is koveya and it's like it becomes a din? Like we know certain minhagim become dinim, and therefore even if my father-in-law asked me to do something, I don't follow it. A. Number two, im yesh yisod b'halacha l'minagzeh. Is there any basis in halacha? Is there any reason why one shouldn't? Like the Ashkenazic custom, not to name after a grandfather while they're living, or a grandmother while they're living. So is there a halachic basis for that custom? Number three, im yesh mitzvah l'chabed aviva aviv. That we discussed yesterday. Is there a mitzvah of kavod for grandparents? That was the Maharik and the Rama and the Rashi from yesterday. Number four, im amam yish mitzvah kizu ha'im avi aviv yachol limchal al kvodo. Right, if there's a mitzvah of kavod of the grandfather, can he be mocha on his kavod in both directions, as we'll see. He wants you to do this, but maybe generally, you know, to name it after a live person is an inappropriate. Number five, ha'im ha'mitzvah yilachabi kol saba o rak avi aviv lo avi imo. Even if it's a grandfather, maybe it's only a paternal grandfather, not a maternal grandfather. Anyway, Lamb goes through all of these issues. What is the source for this idea of naming or not naming after a grandparent? So there is a Sefer Hasidim. That's where it really starts. Sefer Hasidim, one of the Bali Atosus, one of the Rishonim, says as follows. Tav Samach. Nachrim, it's very unclear what he means the first half. Rabbi Lam deals with this. Very unclear exactly what he means. And it's just two lines. Nachrim shekarim lebeneyem b'shem aviyem. Non-Jews who call their children by their fathers, ein bakach klum. There's nothing. What does that mean, ein bakach klum? There's no issur for you to follow them? Is he saying, v'chusem lo seilechu? Is he saying it's meaningless? V'hayehudim makpidim al kach. V'yesh mekomos she'ein koren achar shemos achayim ela achar shekvar mesu. It's unclear what the first line of the Sefer Chazina means, but the second line's clear. This is the minog. Where does Ashkenazic custom come from? Not to name after a living relative? Right here. There are places that you don't name after Shemos Achaim Ela Acha Shekvar Mesu, only after they die. That is quoted right here. Where is the source of naming after a relative Bechlau? We'll get to that, but it's even in the Torah. Parshas Bereishis, right? We talk about Lemech and Chanoch. We'll get to some of those if we have time. But again, this is the original source for not naming after a live parent. So Rabbi Lam then deals with, so what power does this minog have? Generally, we know a minog either has a power of a neder, somebody accepts to do a minog, so sometimes it turns into the Yoredeya and Shulchan Aruch. So in Reish Yudalad, minhagim could turn into nedarim, and therefore to get out of it, I would have to be matur neder for some reason. So is this the type of minog that achieves the status of a neder? So Rabbi Lam says, maybe not. Because what's a neder? If something comes my way, I act a certain way 25 times, and the 26th time I want to do differently. How many times does a person have the chance to name after a relative? Do you go by the entire tzibur or by this guy? Fascinating question. Usually it goes by each person, individual person. I stand for Kabbalah, for Chazaras Hashatz, and I want to be Mevatel HaMinog. I do this for davening, I do this. So you always, it's personal. But here, this guy never had a kid before. So you could say his minhag. So could he talk in the world of neder? It's not clear. It's not clear. Number two, there's a big discussion, the Chavos Yair and others, he says, that minhagim might go by geography, by lands. Meaning if there's a minhag of a certain land for so many thousands of years, how many hundreds of years, whatever it is, then you have an issue. But America, says Rabbi Lam, where the question was from, is a melting pot. And they're from all over. They're from all different countries and all different places. So maybe that whole idea of minhag being a neder doesn't apply there. Number three, says Rabbi Lam, ubedera klal nire, shahadin shahminhag hu begeder neder, ubechinas altita shtoras imecha, hura kishyesh otzad mitzvah oninu shal iser bedavar. Maybe minhagim of that stature only have the power when they're based on some type of halacha. When it's an extension of some type of halacha. Right, so you know something's mutter, but you're choshish for deos hamachmirim. But here, is there any halacha that's connected to that? That you're not allowed a name after a living relative? Is there any halacha? So if not, it could be that it will be allowed. And besides that, there are many sources that we find that there people do name after a live relative. The Gemara says in Chul and Daf Mem Zayin, a couple of months ago, we had it in Chulin, in the Daf Yomi, they tell a story about Reb Nassan Abavli. Sheshtein Nashim Bekrocha Yamu Bubdidas Kapuki Akar B'neim Al Shmo Kabas Todelav. He did a favor for them, and they named their child after. If you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Dalid. Kuf Lamed Dalid Amar Aleph. Amar Rabbi Nassan. Pamachas Halakti Lekrocha Hayam. One time, says Rabbi Nassan, I went over the seas. Ubaz Isha Lafanai, and a woman came in front of me. Shemala Ben Arishon Vameis Sheni Vameis. Her first two sons died because they, after her bris milah. Vishlishi, and the third son she brought in front of me. Heviyato Lafanai. Reisif Shehu Adom. I saw that he was red. I saw that he shouldn't have a milah. Amartila. Hamtini Lo Ad Sheyivla Bodama. Wait until literally his blood is absorbed. Himtina Lo Ad Sheyivla Bodama. She waited a couple of days. Umala Oso Vechaya. And she mouthed him, not she, literally. That's a question about women doing milah. She had a mouth, v'chay, and he lived. V'hayakorin oso nasan abavli al shmi. That's it. And she called him Nasan because of me. We find this. There's another famous story. Not famous, we're going to make it famous right now. There's a story between the Ramban. We know the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah were machatanim. The Ramban's son married Rabbeinu Yonah's daughter. That's a powerful marriage. Powerful marriage. So the story goes, it's quoted in the footnotes in the bottom of the Sefer Chasidim here, that when the daughter-in-law of the Rabbeinu Yonah was pregnant, and they were going to have, I don't know if it was before she had the baby or after she had the baby, the Ramban let them know, name him Yonah. Give him the kavod. Give my machatanim the kavod. Amar Ramban. Avo bicha tzorach lekros al shmi. Even though usually the boy gets the chance, the male gets the chance. Ani rotzeh sheyikra Yona al shem v'zarach Hashemesh v'chulu. And you know, I don't know the end of the story. Maybe it's quoted in other versions. But there's a machlokes. Rabbi Yona was still alive, and he said, "No, I want to name him Moshe." Right? Maybe Moshe Yona, that would have been great. But we'll talk about double naming soon. But then he quotes in the bottom of the footnotes here also. B'chei Nikra Maran Beis Yosef, B'shem Zakeno, Shoye Rabo Muvuk. Anyway, so this is Pashtus, that Ramban, right, says there's no problem. Obviously, he's a Sephardi. But there are many early sources that it's not Dover Shev Mefurish, that was a Minhag, that was accepted by all of Klal Yisrael, not to name. So in this case, Rabbi Lamb ends off. Once we're talking about the covet of the grandfather, again, which way do you go? On the one hand, you might say that if it's accepted that you don't name after a living person, then most living grandparents would say, "Don't you dare name after me. It's Ayin Hara. It's like a bizayin to name after a living if you're Ashkenazi." But here he says, "No, it's okay." So the mice at the end are a Lamb Paskins that he thinks it's mutter. Mikol Amar Nira, it's not a minog yisod that's based on so much halacha, it's based on the Sefer Hasidim, and it's only became, the people feel bad by doing it because it's been the minhag. It's not based on any other halacha. So he mentions one possibility, but doesn't really think so. So therefore he thinks that in this case where the grandfather asked for it, one would be allowed to do it, especially because you know that all the Sfaradim do it, so therefore it would be okay. That is issue number one. Interesting, Shaila, that comes up. There is another discussion. What happens if a grandfather, you always want to name after the grandfather, what if the grandfather is a Mechal Shabbos? Is there any issue naming after a Mechal Shabbos, naming after a relative that's Mechal Shabbos? Rav Sternbach has a tshuva about that. Rav Sternbach in Yoredeya, this is in Chelek Aleph. Chelek Aleph is in Tafrei Shvav. Nishalti kama pamim. This is Chelek Aleph. He was still in South Africa when he wrote this. Nishalti kama pamim. B'inyan kriya shem liyeled. Al shem saba o aviv shem mechali shabbos chas v'shalom. So what's the halacha? See, he says, nire. If you say, like the Gemara says in Yuma, that lo maskina shem l'rishoyim, we don't want to give rishoyim a zecher, that's only if they have a unique name, so that this kid, oh, he's named after that Rasha. Says that's a problem. But if your grandfather's name was Abraham, or Yaakov, or David, or Moshe, or any, and they're not specifically identifiable, if they're Nimrod, you know, it could be a problem. But if it's just a name, Abraham, Yisrael, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David, im Hashem Abraham, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, v'chadome, av sha'asaba miskavi d'shem zesh ol nechtu hu al shem aviv, shahaya rasha, even if the Zeta thinks, oh, named after my father, you know what the kid could think? The father of the child? He's naming after Abraham Avinu. Doesn't matter what he says at the bris of the speech. What's his kavana? Says Avia Ben Yochol Achavin Lavoseinu Akadoshim V'Tzadikim Nikru B'Shem Zev Alachinin Lachshos Lazeh. Not a problem. And therefore, says Rav Sternbach, I don't think you should cause arguments in this case if it is all possible. If it's a common name, that one could have a different kavana in mind. That's all number one, naming after the living Saba, and what happens about naming after a Mechal Shabbos Saba? What about the issue we know in various, is more common in Hasidic sects? Okay, we're talking about grandparents here. What if there's not a Machlokes, should one name after a family relative or a Rebbe? Is there verses, right? Who wins out? And there are sources for both. There's sources for both. If you look, this is quoted in a Journal of Halakha Debrei Society. Former Chavrusa Minor Rabbi Leibowitz writes about this, quotes various sources. Can one name, is it better to name after a Rebbe? Is it better to name after a family member? And some Achronim say, well, we know the Gemara is at the end of Elam Metzias. What does it talk about? If your father's watch is in the sea, and if your Rebbe's watch is in the sea, whose do you say first? Your Rebbe's! Because your father brings you to Olam Hazeh, and your Rebbe brings you to Olam Haba. So which is greater? Unless your father is also your Rebbe's, then he has both, and then you save his first. But your Rebbe always goes first. So Lechora, doesn't the Rebbe take precedence? But on the other hand, there are Midrashim otherwise. The Medrash. The Medrash says in, let me find it, the Medrash in Brachos, in Parshas Noach. The Medrash says, Ule'ever, this Rashi quotes one line of this Medrash. Rashi quotes that by Peleg, why was he called Peleg? Because his father had Ruach HaKodesh, Kibiyom of Niflaga Haaretz. In his days would be the Dara Flaga, and therefore he called him that. Says the Medrash, Rabbi Yossi Omer, how Rishonim, the Rishonim that lived for hundreds of years, and they knew their Zaydas and the family back, they called their names based on events during the lifetimes. Aval anush einonu makir mes yichuseinu, anu motziim l'shem avoseinu. Rashbag, harishonim ayidishal yimishtam shem beruach hakodesh, hayimotziim lahem shem ha'ma'ora. They used to call it based on events. Aval Yaakov, why is it Yaakov? Because of Akev. Why is it called Yitzchak? Yitzachakli. I mean, everything about the names of the Avos, obviously there's deep symbolism. But all of them, we don't know why Avram, I mean, we know the symbolism, the Torah doesn't say it at the time, but Avram on Goyim, but all of them, Noach, Zeyinachamenim Asinim Yitzvon Yodeinu, everybody's based on an event. But we don't know, but now we only live 120 years, says the Medrash, so we don't remember way back. So we just have to call them by their names. Aval Anu, Shein Anu, or we don't have Ruach HaKodesh, Inam Shash Ruach HaKodesh, Anu Motziin, L'Shem Avoseinu. The Chulu, and he quotes that Aver was a tremendous Navi, and therefore he knew Yaktan, and he knew Peleg, so all these names, so there the Medrash makes no reference of a Rebbe. It's all about family members. This is goes back a long way. Rabbi Leibowitz, in that article, he quotes some achronim that say, well, maybe it depends. The whole point of naming after a family member, according to many, is because this family member is what allowed me to be who I am. If it's a grandfather, if it's a great-grandfather, if it's a great-uncle that had something to do with the child. So maybe that's what it depends on. It depends on who made me most. So, if it's a family member, wonderful. If the family member has no shaychus, and a Rebbe has much more shaychus, that was nifter, so maybe that's more appropriate. So again, that's more of a middle opinion to know which would win out. One final point related to names. Again, this all came from grandparents. These are the mitzvahs to talk about grandparents. What about a double name? What about two names? Where did that start? Where did it start that anybody? In the Torah, nobody had two names. Okay, Sofes Paneach. Yeah, but that's not really inherently his name. Right, so where's the two names? So the only, in the Rishonim, we don't really have a double name. Where do we have a double name? We have, there is one Bala Tosfos that's quoted in a few places in Shas, Yaakov Yisrael. One Bala Tosfos. So that also doesn't prove anything, because that's the same name twice. Yaakov Yisrael. So where did the name start? There are some names. The Noda Yehuda has a tshuva where he says all the double names in the Gemara aren't really double names. Abba Aricha, Abba Shaul, all these names. The Noda Yehuda says in Tinyana Arachayim Kuf Yud Gibel. He says he does not know any place in Shas. Wow, before computers, with a double name. And he goes through all the ones that you would think are double names, and he doesn't think it's a double name. So when did it start? It started, in the early Achronim. The Marshal has a fascinating comment in Gittin. The Marshal in the Yamshal Shlomo says, there was a machlokas that was brought to him, where the mother wanted to name it one name, after somebody named Mayor, and there was somebody that wanted to name, I'll read you his Lashon, V'shem Aviv Mayor, V'shem Chamiv Uri. The father's father's name was Meir, and the mother's father was named Uri. And they had machlokas about it. So he said, you know what I told them? Name him Schneier. Because Schneior, Meir is one light, Uri is another light. So I gave him Schneier. Schneior. This is the source of the name Schneier. Right? Schneier Cutler. Right? Schneier, this is where it comes from. Meir who are, but Uri who are. So that's a double name combining into one. But already in the early Achronim, we have those who have a double name. The Achronim discuss, what about naming somebody after two different people? Does that become naming him after nobody? I say, okay, two people, you can't combine, it's two different neshamas. Or no, you can combine. So there's an amazing Bali Atosfos later on in Brachos, where the Bali Atosfos says that when Yosef, his son Ephraim? Okay, Ephraim Hashem Eretz Anyi. But the Bali Atosfos there says, Ephraim is double Afer. This week's Parsha! Avram Avinu says Anochi Afer VaEfer, and Yitzchak Avinu became Efer on the Mizbeach. Ephraim, Yosef names his kid Ephraim Lezecher, his grandfather and his great grandfather. So you see, naming after two different people, you want to give them the Schuyas of both. That's one source, much quoted source to put together names even into one. Amazing. One final point, just to mention, bring us back to Arias. Again, remember the mitzvah is Bas Habas today, talking about grandparents and naming after grandparents, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. There is a source I did not get to mention a couple of days ago when we spoke about this. I wanted to mention it now. When we got into Arias, we spoke about are there any svaras for Arayas? We spoke about Rav Hirsch, we spoke about the Rambam and the Ramban, trying to give certain logical ideas for Arayas. But there is a very important source of the Rambam. In Shmona Prakim, his Akdama to Pirkei Avos, Perek Shishi, where he talks about a machlokes between the philosophers and the chachamim. That's a machlokes. What's the machlokes? He says the philosophers, there are two types of people. There are people who are what he calls Moshe Benafsho, people who have tremendous taivas and tremendous yetzaharas, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, but I control myself. That's one great person. Somebody who's able to control his taiva. And you have the other person who accustoms himself so much, and he makes himself into a person who doesn't even have the taiva to do something wrong. That's called tzaddik, right? What's his lashon? I'll get you his lashon in a second. Which is greater? He says somebody who was a chassid or a Moshe Benafsho. Somebody who naturally, he conditions himself to naturally always do the right thing. Which is a greater person? Which is a greater Oved Hashem? Somebody who wants to eat treif and wants to do all these averas and wants to do it, but he controls himself? Or somebody who conditions himself to say, no, batel ritzoni b'pnei ritzoncha, and therefore I don't even have a taiva to do that. Which is greater? So it's a machlokas. The philosophers say the Moshe Benafsho is worse. And the chassid, who conditions himself not to even want it, so that's greater. But he says many chachamim say no. What does Rashi say on the Alat Torah? Efshi v'yeshvi el Hakadosh Baruch Hu gazer alai. I wish I could eat the piece of treif, but Hakadosh Baruch Hu said I can't. So what do we hold? The Rambam says we make a chilek. We say it depends which type of avera we're talking about. If it's an avera what we call chukim, or an avera that we call mishpatim. If it's mishpatim, the logical mitzvahs, I wish I could kill that guy, but you know what? I can't. Hashem says I can't. Chas v'shalom. If it's murder, if it's I really don't want to be mechabin my parents, but you know what? Hashem's forcing me, I'm going to do it. No. If it's the mitzvahs that are mishpatim, then what we're supposed to do is to condition ourselves to want to do those mitzvahs and to stay away from those averas. But if the ones that don't make sense, if it's shatnez, if it's basur b'chalav, if it's any of those others, so then there's no reason for me to condition. I could say, I wish I could have it, but you know what? I can't. Kodesh Baruch Hu is gozer alai. Where do you put Arayas? Where does one put Arayas? So it depends on all those svaras that we gave. If you really take those svaras, is Arayas something that I should, you know, I really want to be with my, you know, HS whatever, but what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer against me. Or no. Or do I say, I don't have such a taiva for that. So the Rambam puts Arayos, at least certain Arayos, with the Chukim. That's the Rambam. That's his chilek. He says at the end, he says, Ulofia move on me pshuti shnei ma'amarim. He says, they're not close to each other. Shneim emes v'ein machlokes b'neim klal. Right? There's no machlokes. Haraos shehein eitzof mishalom mis'ava aleim yoser chashim and mis'ava aleim. The philosophers that say, if you don't have a taiva for them, it's better. That includes shvichas damim, geneva, gizela, ona, ripping people off, damaging people, being good to people, being mevazi your parents. All of those, you shouldn't have a taiva for. But the mitzvahs, those are the mitzvahs sichlios. But the shimios, for example, basa b'chal of shatnez and arayos, says the Rambam, elu mitzvahs v'chayotzim en hena shakaron Hashem yizbara chukos, and therefore there's no problem with having a taiva for it, but holding back. The Rambam he doesn't say which arayos he's talking about. Maybe some arayos yes, some arayos no. But this Rambam belongs with that discussion that we had a couple of days ago, that is in terms of reasons for arayos and how much is it a gzeiras hakasav. Okay, we'll have to stop here. And with Hashem, we will continue next week along with the arayos when we get up to Ervas Habas. Everybody should have a good Shabbos.